you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. We're still in a series on our seven pillars that First Assembly believes that we are to build on as a church. And every once in a while we kind of teach on these seven things just to let you know, hey, listen, when you want to know about our worship, when you want to know about our discipleship, when you want to know about our classes, when you want to know about who is First Assembly, what is First Assembly believe, and what is First Assembly going to be a part of, you can look at our seven pillars. It's everything we do is connected to one of these pillars. And I believe that for a church to be a living, breathing, God part church in this day, you've got to have these seven things functioning in the church for the church to be what God calls it to be, and for the church to function the way God calls the church to function. And the great thing about this is that not only does it happen at a church level, but it happens at an individual level. That each of us need to be a part of a church that has these things, but we also in our own lives need to have these seven pillars at work for us to be what God says we are and for us to do what God says we can do. Amen. Amen. How many of you want to do what God says you can do? How many of you ever, you read the word and you see God saying you're this, you're more than a conqueror. We can lay hands on the sick and see them healed, and we can speak blessing and breakthrough and all of these things, but your life seems very ordinary. See, I don't want to just read about it and say, oh, wouldn't that be nice? I want to read His word and say, I want to live that in my life right now. I want to experience God and the fullness of God in my heart right now. And I believe these seven pillars help us to do that so that we can do what God calls us to do and be what God calls us to be. And so we've been talking about the very first pillar for the last couple of weeks, which is worship, having a passion for God. And last week we took a few minutes and we talked about the power for worship, the power that is in worship. And there is a power in worship that changes lives. And the thing is this, it's meant to be experienced. It's not meant to be something you just kind of come and watch. Okay? It's not something you say, oh man, they're worshiping. Oh man, they're worshiping. Oh look, man, they're having an awesome time in God and I'm watching and I feel good because I see God moving in people's lives. God says, I don't want you just to watch. I want to move in your life. It is something that should be experienced, and then it's something that should be shared. You see, when we come together in the presence of God, it should humble us, it should empower us, but it also motivates us to go and to tell someone. Because when you experience something great, you don't want to keep it to yourself. Man, when you experience something, you're telling it to people who don't even care. You ever told them, I'm standing in line at the store buying my wife flowers. People are like, man, I don't care. What are you talking to me for? Yeah, love my wife. Why are you talking to me, sir? You know, I mean, it's just, when we experience something great, we want to share it. And David in Psalms 40 gives us a glimpse of this type of worship when he was praising God for what God had done. And David said, many will see this and worship Him. You see, there's a celebration in worship that comes from our heart to God. And it's a vertical thing. When we come together and we're led and we look, we set our eyes and our focus on Him, worship rises up. Scripture says that Jesus inhabits the praise of His people. That's what that's talking about. But then from our worship, there is this horizontal proclamation that when God is doing something here, I'm going to share it here. The people around me are going to experience it. The people around me, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to encourage them. Because if God's done it for me, God will do it for them. And David couldn't be silent about what God had done for him. You see, our worship will always be a witness. There's a power in worship that we need in our lives. There's a power in worship that inspires believers and impacts the lost. And God created it this way, that when we come into His presence and there's worship like this, it fills us with joy and it motivates us to go tell somebody. And you know what? Even though the world may not understand everything we sing and everything we do, and they may not understand all the functionings of the church, but they know what joy looks like. They know what a changed life looks like. They know what peace looks like. And Scripture says that when we lift Him up, that it will draw all men. Well, God fills us up so that we go share it so that they come in and experience Him. And then He fills them up and then He sends them out. It's the way of the church. It's the way that the church was built and the way that the church should walk. So worship is more than just a Sunday thing. It's not a Sunday 10:30 to 11:15 type deal. It is an every day of the week life. It is us living our lives for Christ. And so I'd ask you this question last week. Does the way that we worship attract people to Christ? You see, there are things that if we only hear, there are things that we will only hear in times of worship. We looked at scriptures that, man, people were looking for things, and God had there was a moment of worship, a moment of they came together and they sang praises. They came together and they gave God glory. They came together and they saw God clearly. And then God moved, or then God spoke, or then God gave them the answer or the clarity or the direction that they were looking for. And I'm telling you, if you need to hear from God, if you need direction for your life, if you need to know what you're to do and when you're to do it and how you're to do it, you need to go into a time of worship, because worship sets our hearts and focuses our eyes on Him. And when I see Him clearly, I'll hear Him clearly. Y'all with me today? Y'all are quiet today. I'm going to come get you. So listen, we have to stop looking at everybody else. We have to set our eyes on Him. We have to praise Him for who He is and what He does. Praise Him for what you understand, and praise Him for what you don't understand, because the good news is, even what I don't understand, I can trust Him. He is my God. He is your God. And I love that. And He draws us near with worship, and then He sends us out so that we can proclaim what God is doing. And I left this question with you. Does the way you worship attract people to Christ? Because you see, God always intended us to live on both sides of worship. Spirit-filled worship draws us in, and then the truth we learn and grow fills us, and worship then sends us out to the world who needs to hear from God. You are plan A, and there is no plan B. Do you understand that? It's like, well, maybe somebody else will witness to him. Nope, God chose you. Well, I'm not very comfortable with it. Yeah, well, the cross was comfortable. So what should our worship look like? When I say worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, what does that look like? I think for us to give genuine worship has to be grounded in gratefulness. I think that's very important in our approach to God. I think all of us are blessed. I think all of us need to be grateful for what we have. Even in times of struggle, we are still blessed. I think another thing is thankfulness, that needs to be in our hearts and is at the heart of genuine worship. You know, when you come into His presence, you can't help but thank God for who He is and what He's done in your life. How many of you look back and just see the hand of God on it? God has saved you. God has led you. God has guided you. God has protected you. You worked really hard and messed your life up. God stepped in and has pulled us out of some stuff. God has saved us from some stuff. Other things, God's given us strength to get through it. And God does both. Please don't be disappointed this morning if you didn't pray and a miracle didn't happen and all your problems just vanished. Sometimes God says, okay, yeah, no, we're going to get out of this, but we're going to walk out of this. No, scripture says, this too shall pass. Sometimes it's like a kidney stone. Am I lying? Am I lying? Sometimes things pass, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it's tough, and sometimes it's painful. And sometimes you're like, Lord, I've learned my lesson. Take it away. And He says, no. We're going to walk this out. But God gets us through, and there's a lot of reasons we have to praise Him this morning, that a lot of reasons we have to lift our hands and give Him glory. But even things that cause us pain are just part, or can be part of what God uses to move us towards Him. So we need to learn to stay in His presence, to learn and to grow through those times. So how do we get into His presence? Well, our text this morning, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture that shows us how to worship and tells us what worship needs to include. And I'm not talking liturgy, and I'm not talking rules, and I'm not talking six steps to guarantee anything. I'm just talking David took his heart and he put it on paper, and I think it's a beautiful portion of Scripture that tells us how to enter into worship. And let's read it today. Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I read once that the Bible is shallow enough that the most immature can play without drowning, but it is deep enough that the most mature can never touch the bottom. That is Scripture. And that is Psalms 100. And it gives us this impression that there's a way to enter into God's presence. And I've seen people on both sides of this, okay? God is willing to meet with us anywhere, anytime, but there's a way to approach Him. We must come into His presence with a heart and a mind and a spirit that is acknowledging that we are in the presence of the King. Are you with me today? You have entered into the presence of the living God, that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, that demons flee, that no sickness or disease can stand up to, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the presence you walked into this morning. That's the Spirit that you came into this morning. And I think that we can learn that when I'm going to enter into the presence of the King, I need to make sure I'm ready for the King. Read the book of Esther. Read all that she went through to enter into the presence of the King. And I'm telling you, man, this is something we got to get. This is something we got to hear. And I'm not talking about, well, you have to wear a tie if you're going to meet with God. I don't care if you wear a tie. I don't care if you have shorts on. I don't care if you have flip-flops, as long as your toenails aren't nasty. Oh, they're pointing at you, my friend. They are pointing at you. That's cold. That's cold, man. That is cold. Listen, I think it's about our mind. I think it's about our heart, and I think it's about our spirit. If we come into the King, man, we need to be ready to meet with the King. And so, do you ever have a big meeting with your work or with your job? You got a presentation to make? Are you prepared for that? What do you do to prepare for that? I mean, you want to be right. You want to be ready. You don't want to walk in, have somebody ask you a question, and go, yeah, I don't know. You study to show yourself approved unto God. That's what you're doing. And I think the same thing needs to happen in our times of worship. The same thing needs to happen on our Sundays and our Wednesdays and on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We need to prepare to be in the presence of the King. Did you prepare this morning to enter into God's presence? See, for a lot of us, that might include fighting with your spouse on the way to church. Screaming at your kids because they have two left shoes on. You don't even know where they got two left shoes. You know. Knowing what time you need to leave, but knowing what time you're going to leave. Is that fair to say? Did you prepare your mind, your heart, and your spirit to worship the King this morning? Because He is here. Where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst of them. And so David, in Psalms 100, he lays out this protocol. He lays out this way to enter into the presence of God. And so we're going to break it down a little bit. Psalms 101, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You see, when you look at this passage, it's referring to a glad shout or to give a blast on a trumpet. And what would happen is whenever the King would come out, whenever the King was going to come from where he was out to where the people could see him, there was something that would take place. They would blow trumpets. The people would shout. They would acknowledge the presence of the King. And that's what David is talking about. He said, you're going to shout because God is here. Stop and think about that. What your problems are today. Stop and think about what you brought in here today. The one who can heal. The one who can deliver. The one who can save. The one who can change you is here. And we walk in and He is here. And there should be a shout of praise. There should be something that stirs in our spirit and stirs in our heart. Because God is present with you. It's like you seeing someone famous on the street. You ever watch some of these interviews where people walk and they say the dumbest things? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Yeah, I know who I am. And that's what it's like. How many Seinfeld fans do we have here? All right, there was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer thought he saw Joe DiMaggio at the cafe, Dinky Donuts, and he was dunking his donut. So he wasn't sure it was him. From the side, it looked like him. And so he said, well, what I did, I just kind of started making noise. Woo! Woo! He goes, he just didn't look. Woo! 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 I just kept, he goes, Jerry, I think it was him. That's kind of what it's like. God is here. His presence is here. And it can also mean a shout of triumph. That when we come to worship, our agenda is to meet with God. And guess what? God's agenda is to meet with you. Man, that ought to make somebody shout. And I'm telling you, man, we lift our voices, we sing, we shout our praise. And this is not rude, this is not disrespectful. But when we are worshiping, we can't just be quiet, because we're worshiping the one who loves us like no other. Who has loved you like God? Who has been with you like God has been with you? Who's been as faithful to you as God has been faithful to you? See, we're not raising our voices to draw attention to ourselves. We worship because the presence of the Lord is with us. Yeah, good. I'm not raising my voice and singing out so you notice me. I want God to notice me. Like the man outside of Jericho who heard Jesus pass by and cried out to him, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd tried to quiet him. And the crowd tried to shut him up. You leave him alone. He's too busy. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. You're an outcast. You just sit there, be quiet, and let the rabbi go through. But it says he cried out all the more. He didn't care if the crowd heard him. He wanted Jesus to notice him. And what happened? Jesus stopped and turned and went back and said, "What do you want me to do?" And the man said, "I want to see." And God raised him up, and that man went. And his life was changed because he cried out to the God. He didn't care what other people said. He wanted God to notice him. So whenever I'm in his presence, I have to give thanks. There's a joyful shout that ought to come from my spirit. I have an alabaster box I need to break every time. And it's a shout of joy and of love and of victory. Psalms 100 verse 2, the first part says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Serve in the scripture has kind of twofold meaning. One is to say, serve in a broad way, an overall way of life, to kind of serve your whole life. But the second way means a more specific activity. It's more narrow. It's a personal use of the term. And in Psalms 100, it's focusing on that second definition. David is talking about praising God. We give God glory, honor. We speak and sing praises because He is God and He's worthy of it. And in this portion of Scripture, it's focused on giving God honor. John MacArthur defines it this way: honor and adoration directed to God. That's what he defines worship as. A.W. Tozer gives us a more expanded version. He says, God wants to cultivate within us the adoration and admiration of which He is worthy. He wants us to be astonished at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and splendor of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let me break it down. God wants to blow your mind. God wants you to come in and be overwhelmed by His presence, and overwhelmed by His grace, and overwhelmed by His mercy, and overwhelmed by His faithfulness. He wants you to see Him more fully, so that our only response is to worship and to serve Him with gladness all my life and in every moment I can. God, I don't want to miss a moment of serving You. Psalms 100 verse 2, the second part says, come before His presence with singing. The NIV says to come before Him with joyful song. You see, our shouts turn to songs. Most of the time when we express our gladness and our joy and our praise, we do so through music. You ever notice that? Sometimes it's even, you know, when we pray, we can sometimes do it. But a lot of time you turn on a song in your car, you sing along. It comes out that way. Songs that we sing don't create those things in us, but rather they help us to express what's in our heart. How many of you ever heard a song and go, "That's right where I'm at. That's what I feel. That's what I'm experiencing." He's singing about God set him free. Man, I know that God set me free. He's singing about God gave the victory. Man, I know there was people at work. They were against me. They were talking about me. But I prayed and I believed that God brought the victory. And that's my victory song. And we experience these things. As David's saying, that it's through worship that we approach God. Worship is not a bridge that leads us to God. It is the experience with God. Worship is powerful. And I said this last week, if you need clarity or breakthrough or healing or whatever, worship. It's a means by which we connect with God at a heart level. And in Scripture, there's 575 references to praise or singing or music that are found in the Bible. And in the very center of this book, with 150 chapters of worship songs, is this book called Psalms. And all of them are meant to be sung. If God dedicated an entire book of Scripture, to songs that are meant to be sung. I'm telling you, there's something to this that we need to get. Music has always played a special role in the connection between God and man. We worship God through music, not music itself. Do you hear me? I don't want you to walk out of church going, man, that band was on point today. Man, that drummer, that guitar player, oh my goodness, those vocals. See, our focus needs to be on God. I want you walking out of here saying, man, God touched me today. We were worshiping. I just felt the Holy Spirit just come. And I felt the Holy Spirit, man, I was nervous about some things. I've been dealing with some stuff. Man, I have a confidence right now because I've been in the presence of God. It's not about making our name famous. It's about making His name famous. That's what it has to be about. John MacArthur says this, music and liturgy can assist or express a worshiping heart, but they cannot make a non-worshiping heart into a worshiping one. The danger is that they give a non-worshiping heart the sense of having worshiped. So the crucial factor in worship in the church is not the form of worship, but the state of the heart of the saints. If our corporate worship isn't the expression of our individual worshiping lives, it's unacceptable. And if you think you can live any way you want and then go to church on Sunday morning and turn on worship with the saints, you're wrong. Yeah, got quiet on that one, horse. Psalms 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. David says that in our worship, there needs to be a moment that we acknowledge that He is God. In our worship, if it's really going to be God-focused, we have to focus on God over our stuff. Because if you're not focused on God and you're focused on your stuff, whatever you focus on is the Lord of your life. Whatever you focus on is going to be bigger. God says, come in and focus on me because I am greater than. Like a soldier saluting a high-ranking officer, we have to recognize when we are entering the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We acknowledge Him. We surrender to Him and we submit to Him. Years and years ago, was Brooks, I think, what, you were sixth grade right after we came and went to, how old were you when we went to Baltimore Aquarium? Ninth birthday. Brooke, one of the ninth birthday kids. And we took her and a whole group of friends to the Baltimore Aquarium, and Sierra was with us, and we were going through the Baltimore Aquarium, and everything was great, and everything was wonderful, and all of a sudden, we realized Sierra was no longer with us. And how old was Sierra at the time? Six. She's 6 years old. And so, you know, you just kind of thing, you're looking, and looking a little bit turned into looking a lot, and looking a lot turned into us letting security know, and they shut the whole building down. And we were looking for well over an hour. And they were checking the tanks. I mean, this was like serious stuff. This was like, went behind, oh, see, I'm sure she's here to what has happened. They were checking bathrooms. They were checking cameras to see if someone had taken her and left. And I just continued to roll through the building and roll through the building and roll through the building. And we were a couple hours into this, shutting down this whole aquarium. And I'm sure people loved us. Every time people looked angry, I'm like, yeah, what's up with that family? You know? And finally, hours later, I go through and I'm walking through yet again and I find her up at the top level. What is it? Like the rainforest. And she was kind of hiding there. And I came up and I saw her and I'm like, Sierra, what, baby? Where have you been? And she was there the whole time. And I said, baby, security guards have been coming through. People have been calling your name. People have been looking for you. We've been worried sick. And she looked at me and she said, I wanted you to find me. I wanted you to find me. I wonder if that's how God feels when we come in and worship Him. I wonder if that's how God feels when we come in and we're giving Him praise. I wonder when we come in and we say, you know, Lord, I'm in a great place in life and I got things that are going on and things are good and there's people who love me and there's people that make me happy. But you know what, God? I want to worship You. They bring joy, but You're living waters. God, I want to give You praise. I want You to find me. You're my God. You're my King. You're the living water of my life. And I want You to be the focus of my heart and of my soul. Psalms 100 verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, David is telling us how we can open doors into God's presence. You see, the gates were part of the outer wall that surrounded the temple grounds, and you would enter the temple by going in through these gates. And as we enter God's presence, we enter with thanksgiving. And this is the part of the place in our lives or in our experience of worship that we give God thanks. All of us have something to thank God for. All of us have something to give God praise for, and we give Him thanks at this place for all that He has done. And once you go through the gates, then you enter His courts. It's the inner thing. And there we praise, and here we give praise, God praise for who He is. And as we enter and move closer to the presence of God, you got to understand something. Praise is not the same as worship. Praise anticipates what is to come. Praise precedes worship. Praise is the way to enter into worship, and worship is the way to have an encounter with God. David Edwards, in his book Worship 365, says this: when we praise God, we are ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting Him know that we have come to see Him. When He hears our praise, He gets up to open the door and invites us in. And when we go inside, we move from praise to worship. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence, and worship is what we do once we get into God's presence. While God is everywhere, omnipresent, God's revealed presence occurs when we worship God. God has chosen to manifest Himself in the praises of His people. David wrote of God, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." Psalms 22:3. God is enthroned in our praises. Thus, our praise creates the atmosphere for an audience with the King, and we come before Him with thanksgiving and praise on our lips and in our hearts. That's good stuff. The rest of verse 4 challenges us to praise and to give thanks and to praise His name. And the word usage in 4, some translations say bless, other ones say praise, and what it means is to kneel. It means to show honor and respect to God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Worship in spirit and in truth will always involve a falling down at the feet of Jesus. It's what I love about the cross. It's the great equalizer. I don't care how much you have or how much you don't have. We all come to the cross. It doesn't matter your past. You could have been saved 30 years or 30 minutes. We all come through the cross. Why? Because of what we know about Him. That's where we do that. Now, David then reminds us that God is good. Psalms 100, verse 5. He says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. In His love, His mercy, He is gracious and kind." Now, some translations actually use the word love instead of mercy. And what it talks about there, it's meaning a covenant love. That God has bound Himself in a covenant or a contract with you that He will never break. His truth is sometimes translated His faithfulness, and it endures through all generations. God is not fickle, and God is not forgetful. He doesn't just want you around when He wants you around. You are loved completely and continually. God does not change His purpose or break His word. The Lord is good. And when we try to grasp that with our minds and our hearts, the greatness of our God, the holiness, the wisdom, the goodness, and His love, His forgiveness, His grace and mercy, that every name of God is a characteristic of God's love for us. I'm telling you, the only response we can have is to worship Him. You see, the heart of worship is to bless and to surrender and to give Him glory. Heartfelt worship is to be gripped in the depth of our hearts by the goodness and the love and the faithfulness of God, our Creator. And in that moment, God is revealed. Worship is not the shout or the singing of thanksgiving or the praise, but they are all bridges that build us into worship, which is the encounter with God. That's why, man, you can experience God driving to work. You can experience God after everyone else has gone to bed and you're just kind of sitting out in the living room reading through the Scripture. That's why God can wake you up in the middle of the night. And you wake up and you think you're going to go back to sleep, but God says, no, I want to talk to you for a minute. You can experience the presence of God in those moments. It will change your life. Worship His audience with the King. So make a joyful noise, first assembly, to the Lord all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.